Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. It's a podcast review, if you'll allow it, of the top 5 things that happen on our morning show, which you can hear on Planet 93.9, Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio. My name is Dave. This gentleman over here is Darren, and the Top 5 Things podcast, Darren, is brought to us by
Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg, and they are open 7 days a week, although they do have some holiday hours we should let you know about.
Oh.
On Thanksgiving, Thursday, they will be open, but they're only going to be open for 4 hours, from 8 a.m. till noon on Thanksgiving, so that they can feast as well. But then, the following day, get after it. It is Green Friday at Nature's Treatment. They will be open on Friday from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m.
Wow, perfect.
Quite a little window at Nature's Treatment.
Let's get into the top 5 things now with number one.
Number one.
Number one. Number one.
I know Thanksgiving is 2 days away.
If you say so.
And I know that there's a backlash when you talk about Christmas before Thanksgiving. And I get it. I'm with you. But I want to share with you my new absolute favorite Christmas story. Would you mind? Would you do me a kindness? And can we talk about maybe my new all-time favorite Christmas story? Because this Christmas story, as so many do, involves the sitcom from the ABC television network in the 80s, Mr. Belvedere. You remember Mr. Belvedere? He was a...
Streets on the China. Who cares when you drop kick your jacket? No one glares.
Oh, thank you. Is it Leon Redbone?
Wasn't he like a closet alcoholic in that show or something?
Mr. Belvedere?
That he would do a lot of drinking at night up in his room?
That I don't know. That might have been a very special episode. They did a lot of very special episodes.
Was he a butler?
Yes, Christopher Hewitt was the butler of this family that lived in Pennsylvania.
And then at night, when his duties were done,
he would just get after it.
He would just sit by a small lamp and just finish bottles of alcohol. Everclear, I believe it was.
Just
bottles after bottles.
Grain alcohol, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh. To the point where he would just numb himself up beyond repair.
Mr. Belvedere ran... from 1985 until 1990. I think it was on ABC from 85 to 90. I think it had another year in syndication as well. And the premise of the show was that this family...
Couldn't take care of themselves.
Well, I mean, look, there are lots of TV shows where families hire people to help them.
How do you
Brady
become a,
Bunch, Hazel.
Yeah, I understand, but how do you become a butler these days?
Oh, I don't know.
How do you...
And a formal English butler in Pennsylvania, I don't know, did they ever explain how that happened?
Because wouldn't you, if you were to have a butler, wouldn't it be advantageous to have a butler who is really, like, essentially a handyman? They can fix anything?
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
You know, like your sink or a toilet, was capable of roofing.
I guess I don't even understand. Are butlers just the male equivalent of a maid? What does a butler even do? He just keeps the house tidy, right? Is that the whole gimmick?
Well, yeah, clean the house, vacuum, but I want you to be able to fix the vacuum as well.
Right. The cable's out.
The cable's out.
Can you take care of that for me, Belvedere?
Or we don't want to pay for cable, if you get my drift. I need a butler that's going to juice me up. I'm also going to need you to be like a skilled chef as well.
I need you to do a lot of things.
I'm going
to
need you. Well, the one thing that you won't be doing around here much is sleeping.
Got a lot of stuff I want you to do.
Plenty to do.
Well, the thing is, too, he was the butler on Fantasy Island. that last season of Fantasy Island when Tattoo had left.
Yeah.
He took over and was like the butler on Fantasy Island for Mr. Rourke.
I gotcha.
For that last season.
I also need you to do some gardening. And by gardening, I really mean farming. I've got hundreds of acres of land.
I need you to cultivate some plants in the basement and keep your mouth shut about it, Belvedere.
That as well, yes.
Yeah. The character Mr. Belvedere comes from a series of books created by Gwen Davenport, her 1947 novel Belvedere, which was adapted into a film. They tried to make it a TV show a bunch of times, and it never really took off until Christopher Hewitt took on the role, and the pilot became a TV series. It was a mid-season replacement. So, like, the first season is only, I think, 7 episodes.
And now who is in that? Who is he taking care of?
Well, Bob Uecker was the dad.
Oh, Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
I forgot that. Didn't he kind of have a hot wife?
Yeah, no. You're talking about Eileen Graff.
Okay.
Redhead,
right?
I think on the show, yeah. I think that's right. So you had Uecker and Belvedere, and then they had kids.
Was it one of the gold kids?
No, you're thinking of Show Me That Smile Again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. Why can't I think of the name of the TV show?
Benson.
When we're near the end, the best is ready to begin. Ooh, as long as we've got each other. Growing Pains. Thank you.
I know there was one in Growing Pains, but there was also a gold in Benson, right?
Yes, that was her. That's Missy Gold.
The older
sister?
That's
Tracy Gold's older sister. Yes.
She looks younger, though.
Isn't that weird?
I guess that's because the show was shot several years before the other one.
I guess that's how time works, yes.
Yeah.
So George is a sports writer, played by Bob Uecker, and his wife, Marcia, is attending law school.
A number of sports writers on television compared to in real life.
It's true. It's true.
It's a very popular occupation, whether you're Oscar Madison or you're Ray Romano.
Yeah.
Everyone's a sports writer.
That's a great point.
You don't bump into a lot of sports writers.
Well, I guess if you want to have a successful sitcom, what I'm hearing you say is cast one of the people as a sports writer.
Yeah.
Why not?
Huh.
So I know what you're asking is, gosh, you fellas have talked an awful lot about Mr. Belvedere. What the Sam Hill does this have to do with Christmas?
Yeah.
Wasn't I promised a delightful Christmas story? Well, here it is. The taping of Mr. Belvedere. Now, they had to do it, first of all of the shows had to be taped during the off season because Bob Uecker was very much the play-by-play voice for the Milwaukee Brewers at the time. So they had to get everything taped. They had a little bit shorter window than a lot of sitcoms. And the...
Speaking of sports writers and baseball...
Yeah?
Do you know that the White Sox have won a game since the Bears have?
Holy cow, is that true?
They both won a game on October 10th, I believe.
And the White Sox
won it that evening when the Bears won it during the day.
White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That's damning, is what that is.
It's one thing for the Blackhawks or the Bulls to have won a game since
the
Bears have won a game.
Yeah.
But for the White Sox to have won a game since the Bears?
That you've enraged me. What does Mr. Belvedere have to do with Christmas? Get to the point. They're screaming at their radios.
God almighty, I've been waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm late for work.
They had to shut down production of Mr. Belvedere. Because Mr. Belvedere injured his testicles when he sat on them riding in a convertible for the Hollywood Christmas parade.
Well, yeah, if you sit the wrong way.
Apparently, Mr. Belvedere sat on his own testicles, causing an injury.
That hurt.
Yes.
Ow! Ow!
Well, I tell you what.
Pain!
You're going to be easy to shop for this year.
The one of the producers saying, yes, it's true. Mr. Belvedere did sit on his own balls. He fell backwards riding in a convertible in the Hollywood Christmas parade.
Is there any video of this?
There has
to be.
I know it, right?
There has to be.
Please show me Mr. Belvedere sitting on his own nuts.
And, yeah.
Please, Greg, for Christmas, it's all I want.
Greg Gumbel is commenting on it.
Mary Hart.
Mary Hart is. Huh, there's Mr. Belvedere. Seems to be wincing in some sort of pain.
They had to shut down production for a week while he healed. Pat Rickey, the producer, saying, "Everybody, you can't tell anybody about this." And of course, everybody.
Well, why did they tell anybody?
Well, I mean, enough time has passed, I guess. Adam Sandler was a guest star on Mr. Belvedere back in the 80s before his SNL run. And he tells a story that he went to a reading, a table reading, before they film any sitcoms.
Yeah, they're going to read through the script.
They read through the script. And Adam Sandler tells the story where it was the table read, and Belvedere came in and was very polite, and then he sat on his balls and started screaming in pain, like apparently...
Because he had re-injured him? Or is this something he just did all the time?
It must have happened all the time.
God, he must have had some real balls. That wouldn't be any. that would be a nuisance. That'd be a nuisance to have oversized balls.
Adam, I'm
reading. Jesus.
Adam had a small guest part on the show, Mr. Belvedere, early in his career. This is Adam Sandler, okay?
Yeah.
On his first day, everyone was sitting at a huge table waiting to start the read-through of that week's show. The old guy who played Mr. Belvedere hadn't shown up yet, so everybody was drinking coffee and talking until he arrived. Finally, Mr. Belvedere walked in, looking...
So he's the one spilling the beans.
Wearing a sweatsuit and a matching monogrammed attaché case. When Mr. Belvedere took his seat, he sang out, "Good morning."
Oh, boy. It's going to be one of these.
And it sat on his testicles. How many times is this guy doing this?
He does it every time he sits, apparently. How is this a Christmas story?
Well, it happened during the Hollywood parade.
Okay.
The Christmas Hollywood parade.
And there's no video of it.
There has to be, right? There's got to be video somewhere of Mr. Belvedere falling out in the back of the...
Falling back off the rumble seat.
And then...
Because he just crushed his nuts again.
He's constantly doing it. When Mr. Belvedere took his seat, he sang out, "Good morning, everybody," like a
Good
British...
Good morning, like everyone.
Like a British Ted Baxter. As he took a load off, he apparently sat on one of his testicles.
He's got testicles the size of mangoes.
He screamed and had to be carried out on a stretcher.
A stretcher?
He's just constantly doing it. Mr. Belvedere had problematically large testicles that were easy to injure. Depending on how he sat.
Well, now you know. You're not going to be able to watch that show again and look at him the same way.
Merry Christmas. God bless us, everyone. Especially Mr. Belvin.
Now, I've got another testicular hematoma. Thanks.
From sitting down.
From just trying to use a chair.
Why is he walking around in a tracksuit? Oh, you'll see.
Boy.
Pull your chair a little closer to the table. This is, he's due. It's been a couple weeks. He's due for
A lot of blood builds up fast.
It's the Christmas parade, and here from Mr. Belvedere is the human nutcracker.
After a table reading, I've got another drainage I need to go to.
Number two.
Two.
There's a moment in It's a Wonderful Life
yes.
where Jimmy Stewart is wondering what he should do. And he looks up and there's a billboard.
Uh-huh.
And the billboard says to the George Bailey character, "Ask Dad. He knows."
And what was that supposed to... It was an ad for what?
Dad, I don't know.
It wasn't really it.
Back then, did dads have to take out advertisements?
But
I wouldn't mind somebody asking me a question.
So it really wasn't
I think it might have been cigarettes or something. I don't remember. I just know that George Bailey looks up. He's wondering what to do. He's at a crossroads, and he sees this billboard, and it says, "Ask Dad, he knows."
Was his dad alive in the movie?
Yes. Yes, he was at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, he dies, and that changes everything, and then George has to run the old building alone.
So that's probably early on in the movie.
It is. It is. I hope I haven't ruined anything if you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life. It's a hard movie to ruin. It's great. I bring this up because if Dad's not around, who do you go to? Or maybe you don't feel like you have the kind of relationship where you can ask your dad or your parents for advice. People often go to complete strangers online. And I love sharing these with you because I love getting your take on them, Darren. Also, these are some people that have some far more interesting lives than you or I. For example, somebody wondering here, "Was I wrong to freak out when my husband hired a private investigator to look into me and my family before we got married?" "We've been married for 3 years, and I only just found out recently that before we got married, my husband ran a background check on me and my family."
I'm very thorough.
"I found out because we were on vacation with his family, and they were doing things I had no interest in participating in a few times."
Oh, we knew that about you.
"So I stayed behind. He let me borrow his laptop because I left mine at home. I made a folder with my name, and I was searching for it when I found another folder with my name, and that folder was full of reports on me and my family, including my extended family and two of my childhood friends. As I read much of the reports as I could before my husband and his family came home for the day, at first I was just hurt he would do something like this without talking to me first. But as I read more and started finding out things about my family and friends that I never knew, I started to get angry. It's hard to put into words, but I felt like I'd gone cold all over."
So he had more information. His family had more information about your family than you even have.
Isn't that something else? "I saw my husband and exploded on him in front of his family. At first, he tried to say it wasn't that big of a deal. And then his cousin chimed in to say it was normal and he wasn't the only one who had done it in their family. When he saw I wasn't calming down, he tried to get me to go into a room so we could talk about it privately, but I told him I wasn't going anywhere with him, and I was leaving. My husband told me to stay, and he would sleep somewhere else, or he would leave, but we were staying in a house owned by his parents, and it felt weird for me to stay and make him leave, especially since his family were all there too, so I ended up staying at a hotel for the night."
Uh-huh.
"And then we both flew home shortly after that, cutting our vacation short. So am I a jerk here?"
Well, he did marry you.
Yeah.
I mean, you passed the test. You passed the audition.
Right.
But if you're that troubled, I would hire a hitman.
My father-in-law has some law enforcement experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he would run background checks on people that would, you know, date his girls. And he was talking about that one night, and I asked, "Well, what about me? Did you do it on me?"
Yeah, of course.
And basically, the long and the short of it was, he was like, "Can you imagine running a background check on someone as boring as you are? Well, what would have been the point? There were no red flags."
No,
for you.
There was
no reason to go digging around.
No, we only ran reports on the bad boys.
Exactly.
The hot guys.
Right. The hot.
The hot teens.
Exactly. The ones that can't be tamed.
Right. Those characters.
You?
The ones in the leather jackets.
Right. You know, it's not free to run these background checks.
Right.
To run a background check on you?
Waste of money.
Exactly.
Well,
why would I
guess I take that as a compliment.
No, it wasn't intended as a compliment.
It was not.
Boy, you're so boring, you don't even know when shots are being taken at you.
Boring.
You can't even figure that out.
How about this? How do I get my partner to change the nickname he's used and loved since he was a kid?
It's his nickname?
Mm-hmm.
A nickname he gave himself?
My partner.
Having said that, we've given ourselves hundreds of them.
Yeah, but we don't force... First of all, we don't remember the nicknames minutes after we give them to ourselves, and we don't insist on other people calling us those nicknames.
Whatever, Mr. Elbows.
Thank you the most. My partner, whom I love and will likely marry, has an unfortunate nickname from his youth.
Uh-huh.
A form of his name that's often associated with a child, or in many cases, a penis.
Okay.
Think Dickie for Richard, very similarly phallic. He loves this name, and everyone in his life...
Everyone calls him Dickie.
...since he was a kid and still calls it by it. But as you might have guessed, I hate this name. I feel uncomfortable using it to address a grown man. And a few times I've used it talking about him early on to family, friends, and even my therapist... They've all made fun of him. Until now, professionally and with newer people, he's always gone with Rich.
Yeah.
But now he's embarking on a career change and wants to use Dickie on all of his work. The idea is he'll be successful and widely known professionally by this name. He knows I don't love it personally, and he's fine with that. Please tell me there's something I can say to suggest he stick with his current professional identity to avoid having to be with little Dickie forever.
Now, she's married with him or thinking about marrying
him? Going to.
Going to marry him.
Yeah.
Well, I would do one of two things. Either not marry him or hire a hitman.
That hitman, this seems to be a recurring answer for you.
It's an option.
Should I believe my boyfriend's complicated explanation for why he messaged a woman on a dating app and went over to her house?
I'd like to hear it.
I learned that my boyfriend might have cheated on me.
Uh-huh.
The story he told me was that a friend of his saw a female that the friend used to date on a dating site.
Yeah.
The friend wanted to get revenge on this ex, so he used my boyfriend's old profile from the dating site to catfish her.
Uh-huh.
However, from everything I saw, it seems like my boyfriend was not the middleman, but the primary person. All of the messages between the two were from my boyfriend, and the messages from him sure sounded like him and not his friend.
Uh-huh.
My boyfriend got into an argument, and he left the house. At the same time he was arguing with me, he was texting the girl wanting to see her. He went to her house that night, and when he came home, he was acting differently. I was in the dark about all of this at the time, but I later spoke with the female involved, and she told me that she and my boyfriend had, in fact, slept together. Mm. Now, he's adamantly denying this, saying he only went to her house as a bet from his friend.
Okay.
The one who was using his profile on the dating app. I'm trying to move forward from this situation, but I feel like the answers I was given weren't good. And I don't know if I should believe my boyfriend. I need a second opinion. How does this situation sound to you? Do you think he's cheated, or should I put this behind me, move on, and accept his explanation?
I think his explanation's no better than the cheating.
Even if what he says is true,
right.
Get out of this.
Yeah.
Even if every word of this convoluted nonsense is really what's going on.
This is the sort of character you want to be with?
No. No, you need to drop
I'll do this stunt on a bet.
You need to drop this fella.
Drop!
Or
I only went there because my friend bet me I wouldn't.
Okay, well, that's worse.
Can you imagine that? Here's what's maddening, though. As bad as these excuses are, they almost are working. She's almost buying them. Finally, how should I handle my colleagues' near-daily conversations about soybeans?
Well, where do you work?
Oh, this is a doozy.
Do you work for a seed company?
I graduated in the middle of the pandemic and got my first real job working remotely, only recently getting to the office as people started getting vaccinated. It was the first time I had to interact with my coworkers face-to-face. Generally, it's pretty good. But I have two particular coworkers, Todd and Evan.
Chip and Dip.
I'm not sure how to deal with them. Todd, you see, believes some weird conspiracy about soybeans. A conspiracy about soybeans, the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, soybeans are part of some 3,000-year-old plan from China to take over the world through the power of phytoestrogens or some nonsense. It's crazy, but at least Todd has enough self-awareness not to bring it up unless someone shows interest.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Evan has quickly realized he can bait Todd pretty easily and asks about soybeans almost every day.
Uh-huh. To get him going.
It's driving me nuts overhearing
them. So you're in the middle of the two of them.
I'm there in the middle of the cube farm, and I'm not really sure if it's worth racing it with management and possibly getting one or both in trouble. What do I do? The advice that they give here is get yourself some noise-canceling headphones. So you've got a guy who thinks that there's some sort of conspiracy that the Chinese hatched 3,000 years ago to take over the worlds with soybeans. But he won't bring it up unless somebody asks. And then you've got another guy who just loves to bring it up every day.
To get him going.
Watch this.
See, this is what I would do.
Watch this.
I would get both of these people fired and then get ready to defend yourself.
Ask to have bulletproof glass put in your cubicle because Todd and or Evan
are going to come for you.
They're going to check. They're going to make a list. And your name's on it.
You're at the top of the list.
It's just your name.
Just before the holidays, you're going to get them fired. And they're going to be coming for you.
You're clearly in league with the Chinese and this 3,000-year-long soybean conspiracy.
You are in on it.
Complicit.
It's as obvious as the nose on your face.
I think Evan's my favorite guy. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
That soybean thing you were telling me about.
You got any soy sauce packages over there?
Never use it. Never use soy sauce. The Chinese are trying to turn us all into women with the soy sauce. It changes your DNA.
Well, they're doing a pretty good job at it.
I don't know if I can put up with Todd, but Evan, that's my guy.
I can hang with that guy.
Yeah, I get it. I get that game. That speaks to me.
Number three.
Here's somebody who drives around in an armored car. I would imagine...
Armored car?
Yeah, armored car. You know the armored cars you see? They obviously have a bunch of money in them. They go from bank to
bank.
That's
probably really the only reason to be driving around in one, right?
Yeah. I wonder if sometimes, like, somebody... I've always thought this would be a good job. And this is a pitch I was going to make... when you and I were doing our FM radio exodus, I was this close to going up to an armored car company and saying, here's my idea.
Mm-hmm.
You give me the armored car.
Yeah.
No money in it.
Yeah.
I'll just drive it around.
As a decoy?
And then that way, if exactly, a decoy, there'll be no money in it. And if they hold me up, I'll be like, sorry, fellas, nothing in
here. Go ahead and check things out.
And tell your friends, they don't always have money in them. Right? Wouldn't it be a great job? Just driving around in an empty truck?
Looking to get held up with someone who's got a weapon? What are you talking about?
Well, what are the it's an armored truck, so I don't know that... I'm not going to go around like...
No one's going to hold you up without a weapon if it's an armored truck.
Well...
They're not going to, like, hold you up with, like, their finger in their jacket.
Well, I might... I don't know. What does the company handbook say? Am I supposed to give them what they want? To
curl up in a ball.
See, I think I would be tempted to, because it's got to be bulletproof glass. I'd just be like mooning them and sticking the finger out at them. You'll never get me. Na-na-na-na-na-na. I got all the money in here and you can't get in.
What if you're out of the vehicle when they stop you?
Ugh, and I would be too. Probably
of course you would be.
Getting a hamburger sandwich or a pizza pie somewhere.
You'd have a hamburger sandwich and you'd be whistling on your way back to the... whistling or singing on your way back to the armored car. And that's when they would say, all right... put him up, pops. Put him up, old man.
Old man?
Well, it's a young person doing this. Someone like, you know, I don't know, 35.
That's not that much younger.
Young enough.
In the scheme of things. Closing the door on the armored car, I think, would be one of the things that you would be taught to do maybe day one. Like, I assume that there's some sort of training.
Wouldn't you think you'd be taught how to open it before you were taught to close it?
Either way, maybe that's something you do... over the course of like your first week of training, opening and closing the door.
That's all you do the first week.
A large sum of money flew out of one of these armored cars. The California Highway Patrol started getting calls from people saying that there was a large sum of money in the roadway on Interstate 5.
How much is a large amount of money?
Well, they never want to tell you the exact amount, Darren. They don't want to say exactly how much.
Yeah, big money doesn't want you to know.
But I'm looking at the pictures here.
Big bank.
I'm looking at the pictures here. It's like hundreds and hundreds of at least 20s.
Mm.
It's raining cash. So people were stopping their car on I-5, getting out to collect the dollar bills because, hey, free money.
Now, do you notice the term making it rain is used more liberally now than it used to be? Where it was basically that the idea of making it rain, wasn't that just basically originated like in a strip club?
I feel like that's the genesis of that term.
And now it's basically they'll talk about making it rain like in public places.
Well, yeah, because the idea is you're throwing money at the recipient.
Right. Yeah, right.
And for whatever reason, we think it's okay to do that in a strip club.
Right, and now apparently it's okay to do that elsewhere.
Right, you can't go to a restaurant and make it rain.
And although now they use the term like making it rain, that just means winning money.
I've not heard that.
Yeah, no, if you see like these FanDuel or these DraftKings commercials, they'll talk about and make it rain.
Well, make it rain is something that someone on a pole should be expecting. That's not something that you should be expecting when you're making a wager on a professional sporting
event. But now they're using the term as if making it rain means just you've been successful.
Uh-huh.
You've been successful.
Win money on football and
make it rain.
Don't forget to pay out the DJ and the bouncers, Cinnamon. So the California Highway Patrol gets calls about all this money on the interstate, and the people are hopping out of their cars, so that's problematic.
Yeah.
Cops arrested a man and a woman on suspicion of taking some of the cash after getting stuck on the freeway because their keys got locked in their vehicle while they were blocking traffic. Videos and photos of raining cash posted all over social media by Friday afternoon. And authorities are now trying to determine who walked away with the money.
Did you just say raining cash?
Yes. They are urging anyone who scooped up some of the money to return it. You have 48 hours to bring the money back to avoid potential criminal charges.
I already spent it. What if I already spent it? Can I bring back what I bought?
Your Honor, I was under the understanding finders, keepers, a losers, a weepers. Reading here from a release that the CHP has put out.
I bought outdoor furniture. Do you want it?
Quote, the CHP would like to thank those motorists who have already returned the money to their local CHP office and remind the public to do the right thing and return any money they found on the freeway. Well, here's what you do. You grab $500 off the street. You walk into the cop shop and go, I found $30. Here you go. Now you're exonerated. And you put the rest of that money away.
Are you?
For a rainy day.
Are you, though?
And by rainy day, I don't mean when you're at the strip club and people are throwing money at you. So now they're warning people, like, you better bring that money back or there's going to be problems. If you knew where I was with the money, you'd already be here. How dumb do you think I am?
Boy, it sounds like you've convinced yourself you're going to keep this money.
I absolutely would. I'm getting out on the interstate to grab money. Listen, If the guy driving the Brinks truck
doesn't
know
my car
how to close the back door and keep the money from flying out all over the interstate, that's not on me, man. I'm in what they call the right place at the right time.
I keep driving. I've got places to be. I'm on a schedule.
How long do you think he was driving before he figured out?
And was it like his,
oh, no.
Was it like his first day? Was it like Larry in the egg truck?
Oh, no. Drivers scooping up the bills, handfuls of cash, and, of course, taking photos of themselves doing it. Because I'm sure I get it, like it's, oh, wow, what are the chances this will ever happen again?
Just in case the authorities don't have enough evidence.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah, keep that to yourself. What are you doing posting this? I'm looking at photos of these idiots like they just won a jackpot at the casino. No, man, no. The doors of the armored truck came open on the freeway, sending cash flying. This happened at 9 o'clock in the morning. Driver of the armored truck started picking up the bills, but soon began recording others who were leaving their vehicles to grab the cash.
Stop it, everybody!
Hey!
Stop it!
Hey! Please, please knock that off. Listen, I'm going to get in trouble for this. Don't you see I'm going to be in a lot of trouble for this?
I'm serious. This is my job.
Hey! Hey, guys. Listen, I'm having a bad day, and you're making it worse. Could we... Hey, not cool, guys. Real mature. Could you please put the money back in the truck? This is going to come out of my check, probably. Probably should.
He didn't fire off any warning shots, huh?
Well, Are they allowed to do that?
Probably not.
I wouldn't think they're allowed to
do
that.
No, it's probably frowned upon.
A money free-for-all had people stopping in the middle of Interstate 5 today, but the money needs to go back.
Tonight, the FBI is hoping social media posts will help them find the people who pocketed thousands of dollars that fell all over the road. News 8's Amanda Schatzky has more from the CHP headquarters in Vista.
Tonight, the CHP, along with the FBI, are asking anyone who took cash from the freeway today to please return it, warning that they have plenty of video and still images to track down those who made off with the money.
I'm just going to say this at the outset. I don't know a lot about how these armored trucks work.
Well, clearly.
But aren't they put in, like, bags and boxes? Like, is the back of the truck just like a giant fishbowl of money?
I don't think it's like a money machine or anything like that.
I think the FBI needs to ask this driver some questions.
How is the money secured? What do you mean secured?
You just throw it in a giant wad in the back?
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make any sense.
Look at the freeway right now. Oh my gosh.
Bills on the blacktop.
Literally everybody stopped on the freeway to get money off of the freeway. This is literally insane.
The 5 freeway turned green Friday morning in Carlsbad after the door of an armored truck carrying bags of money popped open near Kenny
Road. They're trying to say bags.
Numerous bags of money.
Trying to say bags.
Who's putting money in bags? These armored trucks go from bank to bank, right? I'm looking, Darren, at the video here. It's like a garbage bag full of money. And like the thin, super thin garbage bag.
Bags of cash fell out, and some of the bags burst open, immediately dispersing cash across all the lanes.
Yeah, they gotta be a little
everywhere.
More secure
according
than that.
According to the CHP, thousands of dollars were being transported from a San Diego bank to an FDIC location in Los Angeles. It's still unclear exactly how the cash got loose, but for drivers in the area, it was like hitting the jackpot. Cell phone video of the excitement quickly making the rounds on social media. It's not a scene you see every day.
Okay, this is my favorite part of the story. They have these people on the road, on the interstate, and they've brought traffic on I-5 to a standstill. They've got the wads of money in their hand, right? And this one guy is on social media going, look at all this money! And his girlfriend has an equal amount of money, and she's so thrilled, she then throws the money back up into the air.
So you gotta pick it up again.
Negating all of the work that you've done to collect it.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to take the money. I just want to play in it.
But back in 2009, News 8 covered a similar story.
This is what you call the money shot.
Cash being thrown.
Okay, wait a minute. Do you know what that means?
That's another
See,
term.
Again, making it rain and money shot.
That's not a term you should be using on the local news.
I wouldn't think so.
No, it's certainly.
How does that get past a producer?
Do you know what that means, money shot? When there's money in the shot, that's the money shot. No,
that's not what it means.
No, that's a term from another. It's a term from another another field,
yeah, another genre.
Yeah, we really shouldn't.
That's not
for us.
Yeah, if these gambling commercials now start talking about money shot.
Not good. Uh-uh. Not good. We can't. Yeah, right. Right. That's.
Uh huh.
You're right. a lot of these terms that really are.
Yeah, you're kind of
not appropriate.
Cross-pollinating things here a bit.
Leaving home.
She's got all this money in her hands, and then she just throws it back up into the air.
Well, she's just playing in it.
But she's surrounded by people that are picking up money.
Yeah.
It's like she's throwing the money up in a hotel room. It's not like you had a good night at the tables, yeah. right? And you're back in your hotel room, and you're throwing money around the hotel room.
Now, if you...
There's an interstate full of people grabbing money. I mean, I guess that maybe that's probably the only responsible thing to do, because... then other people will pick it up. You go back in your car without having any of that ill-gotten gains in
your... you don't have to report anything.
Right.
Number four.
Carly Lockie loves Christmas so much.
How much does she love it?
We are not going to get along.
Carly Lockie started this unusual tradition a couple of years ago. She got tired of the beige walls in her three-bedroom home.
Uh-huh.
So she decided to go full on Christmas and wrap her entire house on the inside in wrapping paper.
That's a good look.
With the help of
Hold up.
With the help of her partner Mike and her kids, who are 15, 10, and 5, and her stepdaughter Kaylee, who's 18, they hang Christmas wrapping paper in every room of the house.
Just right over the pictures of the family and everything.
Over
the clocks, over the windows.
Yes. All the doors.
Over the vents.
It's over the cabinets in the kitchen.
It's over the cabinets in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. She says, we do the whole house, and it takes a long time. We start the first week of November and don't finish until the first week of December. It's like Santa's grotto. I just love Christmas. And so does Mike.
I bet that's not what Santa's grotto looks like.
First of all, Santa doesn't have a grotto. If he did, it would look like the grotto I imagine at the Playboy Mansion.
Hi, Santa.
Oh, ho, ho, get in, girls.
Again.
Water's fine.
Yeah, Santa can get wet, right?
He's not a gremlin. Why couldn't Santa get wet?
It's not like the Wicked Witch.
No, you don't kill Santa by throwing water at him.
I mean, he's capable.
Take this, Claus.
He's capable of flying around like the Wicked Witch.
Right, but if he gets wet, no harm will come to
him. He's not going
to
melt?
No.
Oh, what a world, what a world.
No.
Santa got wet.
How would you kill Santa? I mean, he's so magic. Is it possible to kill Santa? Isn't that the premise of the Tim Allen movies? Doesn't he accidentally kill Santa so then he becomes Santa?
Oh, I don't know. Is that what the Santa Claus is about?
I think that's what happens.
He killed Santa?
Accidentally. Am I wrong about that? And
with like a power tool or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bandsaw?
I don't really remember.
It got pretty bloody.
I think if I remember
this. Is Santa's blood red?
Oh, and green.
And green.
Yeah, it's very festive, as you can imagine. Yeah, I think Tim Allen somehow accidentally kills...
Santa Claus.
...Santa, and then he becomes...
I didn't know that that was the premise of the whole thing.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly...
So his Santa Claus's powers are transferred to that character?
Am I wrong on this? And if I remember correctly, I think, like, when Santa dies, he's relieved. Like, okay, now you get to... It's now you're the one who's cursed.
Oh, so Santa Claus considers it a curse.
He causes Santa Claus to fall from his roof on Christmas Eve.
Got ya.
And then Santa... Does Santa die as a result? It says here, the Tim Allen character and his son Charlie have to finish Santa's trip and all the deliveries. And they go to the North Pole... And that's where he learns that he has to become the new Santa.
Now, is Santa dead or just, like, disabled?
Well, I don't remember. He falls from the roof. Does he get to retire? He probably retires. The more I think about it, it doesn't make any sense that they would kill Santa in a Santa movie, right?
It's pretty edgy.
So does Santa just retire? That probably makes more sense. It's a much darker movie in my head.
Right, with a bullet right between his eyes. That's the opening scene of the movie, is that you see that there's a a laser.
Okay.
Right
no,
on Santa.
No, he's dead all right.
He does die?
Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. Tim Allen burns the turkey. And then they're awakened by the noise on a roof. He startles the man standing on the roof who slips and falls to the ground. The dead man's body vanishes, leaving behind a red suit and a business card stating that anyone responsible for anything happening to Santa Claus has to put on the suit and continue from where Santa left off. See, if it's me, I would just pick up the suit and put it in the trash.
So then the Santa that he killed had killed the previous Santa.
I think that's how it works.
And on and on and on and on and on.
I think that's how it works.
So this whole Christmas and this whole Santa thing...
It's a punishment.
It's just a result of murder.
Yeah, it's like hell on earth, right?
I mean,
you've committed a sin and you must pay penance. And that penance is bringing Christmas joy around the globe.
Forever. Until you're relieved by sweet death.
They've made three of these movies. I mean, it's a franchise.
Huh.
Santa Claus, Santa Claus 2, and Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause.
If I was to start watching these, which one should I start with?
Oh, you got to start at the beginning. Although I will tell you, number 3 is great.
It is?
Yeah, because Martin Short is Jack Frost.
Oh, that's right.
And he's just doing
Didn't he get his own movie as Jack Frost?
No.
He didn't?
Martin Short?
Yeah.
No.
Sure should have.
I would rather watch that than anything with Tim Allen in it. Yes.
Jack Frost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He got his...
So he was like a nemesis.
Oh, yeah. No, he very clearly is Santa's enemy.
Although, doesn't
he
kind of really need Jack Frost?
Santa?
Yeah.
In the movie or in the story that we all grew up with?
Well, he needs winter.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wish I could remember how that works out.
I mean, if Jack Frost was just basically to boycott and say, no, it's going to be...
I'm not doing this.
It's 80 degrees.
I'm not doing this.
Now what do you got?
The premise of number 3 is that Jack Frost wants to trick Santa in renouncing his position. I think the deal is that Jack Frost would like the season to be all about him.
Mm.
And not have Santa.
Forget about Christmas and presents and all that.
Christmas is now Frostmas, you see.
Quickmas.
It's Quickmas, exactly. So I don't know how that works. But yeah, it's a much darker movie when you think about it. He kills Santa.
Huh.
Santa's Grotto. Well, that's something you can do if you want. You can roll up your entire house. And she says when they take down this original story here, this woman who's got the wrapping paper on the walls, she says it's great because when I take it down, it feels like we've just redecorated again.
And the tape sticks to the walls, huh?
Yeah, how would you do
that?
Or
do you guys use staple guns?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, it's all, and it's not like they're using the same wrapping paper in a room so it looks like wallpaper. It's all different wrapping paper. So I'm not sure. I mean, this would drive me crazy.
I had, in college, I had on the ceiling, and it didn't really work that well. It did for a period of time. You used to get, if you bought an album, you would get a bag that the album came in, an actual paper bag.
Okay.
It would just slip right in. It would basically be the size of an album.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a paper bag that would typically have the store's logo on it. So it would either be like Co-op Records or the Record Bar or Music Den or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all these saved. I stuck them up on the ceiling of the...
This is when you were in college.
I'm in college.
So that's how you decorated your dorm?
I was actually the house in the fraternity.
Oh, cool.
It was not a very big room at all. So it didn't need that. But that was basically, on the ceiling, it was just all of these paper bags from music stores. But of course, then the tax that I had in there, I should have had a staple gun. I didn't have one. I still don't have one.
My buddy Super Dave loved autumn so much that one year he decided to go out and get as many giant bags of
leaves,
dead leaves,
and then he just
decorated them in his room, just threw them all over his room, which is problematic for
did
a couple.
Did they start exactly? Did they
couple of reasons?
With
it was
the rotting,
they're decomposing.
Yeah, they're decomposing.
Right? I mean, they're pleasant to look at on the outside.
That doesn't stop
exactly. The stench is something else.
Yeah.
Also, lot of bugs.
Yeah, and a lot of
bugs on the dead leaves.
Yes.
And they were all over the floor because he liked the crunching sound that they
make.
Oh,
he wanted to do that. Yeah, well, then that
the
just
more
keeps
you step
crunching,
on them,
the finer it gets.
Exactly.
So it's just a powder.
Exactly. You have atom-sized leaf particles in your room. And that room, that dorm room, and he put a giant tree stump in the middle of his room.
Huh.
And just a couple of...
Would you play cards on that? Use it like a table?
I didn't spend a lot of time in that
room.
I didn't think it was as charming as Super Dave did.
Yeah.
Nobody did, really.
Yeah. No, just him.
It was like...
Now, how did he get rid of them? Did he just open a window and just, like, blow them all out?
I think a vacuum cleaner had to be used at that point. Yeah.
See, a blower would have been nice. It would have taken a while.
Yeah.
And, of course, the leaves would have ended up in nooks and crannies for decades after that.
All of Beckman Hall would have been covered in leaves. Yeah, he thought it was charming and a great way to kick off his weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say by the time Sunday Night Sports Center happened, he was checking out the vacuum cleaner to clean up the leaves.
Oh, so just for one weekend.
Yeah, but it was harsh. It was like a really cool idea for the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He may have lasted a little bit longer than just the weekend, but yeah, it was a thing. And a lot more bugs than you would anticipate riding along on the dead leaves. Like, what is going on in here?
Infestation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you've ever, and I'm sure that you have, if you have grass in a bag or whatever.
Sure.
And it's been in that bag for a while and it's been wet and whatever, there's not many smells that are worse than that. That's about as, I mean, we're talking, dead carcass, like, stink.
It's not great.
Not good at all.
Five.
Number five.
Darren, I'd like you to take this buzzer, put that in your hand, your right hand or your left hand, whatever you're more comfortable with, because it's time to once again play Quad City game show sensation like no other. It's time for another stirring round of Which One's Not Florida? Which One's Not Florida, the game in which Darren has to decipher which of these stories is not from
Florida.
This, of course, a spinoff to the equally popular show, Which One Is Florida. So you understand there's a twist here. I'm going to give you three stories. Only one of them does not take place in Florida.
Florida? But that's America's wing.
Are you ready?
Go.
It says here on your card that you're a good shadow boxer.
I am, but I don't beat myself up if I miss practice.
We'll begin with the story of a woman who has pled guilty to stealing $940,000 from work to fund her addiction to an online gambling game that, by the way, doesn't pay out real money.
Oh, no. Then how does it cost her money?
You can, like, buy more tokens to play, I guess.
How much did she steal?
$940,000. Stole $940,000, appeared in court on Monday, charged with 25 counts of computer-related fraud and one count of fraud. She's 49 years old, worked as the account manager at a veterinary hospital from 2016 until 2019. It was only after she was let go in 2019 that some anomalies were discovered in their banking transactions. She made 475 fraudulent transactions, stealing a total of $940,221. She was the only person in charge of managing the accounts at this veterinary hospital and was transferring money from the hospital's bank account to a variety of credit cards, bank accounts, and personal loans in her name. Did this so she could play a gambling game known as Heart of Vegas.
That doesn't pay out real money.
Nope. Nope. The credits that she purchased never turned into actual money. The judge asked her why she was playing a game when there was no return. It describes itself, Heart of Vegas, as being real Vegas slot machines, just like the ones you know and love. And it says here, you may be required to pay a fee to obtain virtual items. But regardless of the terminology used, virtual items may never be redeemed for real world money. She told the judge, I got myself into so much trouble, but I decided to keep going until I got caught. She says she's humiliated and can't believe what she did. This is a
woman. You can kind of believe it.
This is a woman, by the way, who got herself into considerable trouble back in the 90s when she was convicted for stealing $7,000 from that employer. She wanted a fresh start, but returned to online gambling, spending hours on poker machines. Again,
that probably wasn't mentioned on her resume.
I've been convicted of stealing from an employer.
You really should lead with that.
And
I'm
also something of a gambling addict.
Even if I don't win anything. I'm hooked.
All right, here's your next story. Woman arrested on Saturday on a felony narcotics charge told the cops that she's selling fentanyl in order to make money to pay for an attorney for a pending drug charge. I'm only selling the fentanyl because I need money for a lawyer for a drug charge that I'm dealing with. Nicole Gregory busted after a sheriff's deputy spotted her dropping a bag that held four baggies containing fentanyl. She says she did not intend to sell the substance, but then after being questioned, she admitted that she sells the drug for $10 per bump and told the cops that she was selling the narcotics to make money for an attorney for a pending drug charge. According to court records, Nicole Gregory was arrested last month for selling methamphetamine to an undercover cop, and in August, she was charged with possessing fentanyl and meth. Both of those cases are pending in a circuit court. Out of jail on Saturday night after posting the $18,000 bond. Finally, Darren, your third story. We have a couple here that was in the backseat of a highway patrol cruiser when one of them had the idea to film a pornographic film in the back of the cop car. The 24-year-old Summer Watkins yelled to her male companion, quote, "Baby, we should record an OnlyFans video back here." Summer Watkins and Jordan Noah, both, he's 24. I don't know how old she is. She's in her 20s. They were both seated in the State Patrol cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
After Noah's BMW was pulled over on Thursday because he was driving with a suspended license, cops planned to transport the duo to a nearby Shell station where they could make arrangements to get home. When Noah joined her in the patrol car, she asked the cop, "Is it okay if I can't say exactly what she said, but she asked if she could perform a job on the fellow." And the officer replied, "No, you can't do that." And she kept asking if she could do it. And
Why?
The officer said no. When the cop closed the rear door of the vehicle and walked away for a few minutes, they got after it. Neither of them were handcuffed. They engaged in sexual activity that was recorded by the prisoner compartment camera in the highway patrol cruiser. Cops say that while she was performing on him, she also recorded it on her phone and was letting everybody know what she was doing. She also used FaceTime to talk with a friend while she was doing it in the back seat of the police car. Sexual encounter was discovered an hour later when a patrolman reviewed the video footage of the couple in the police vehicle. At that point, it was discovered that the defendant had performed oral sex on Noah. Since she had already been dropped off, the cop went back to the Shell station and arrested her for lewd and lascivious behavior and breach of peace. Both are misdemeanors. She bonded out of jail and is scheduled for arraignment on December the 16th. So the question is, Darren, is it number one, the woman who went into hundreds of thousands of dollars of embezzlement debt for a gambling game that wouldn't pay out real money? Is it number two, the woman who was selling drugs to pay for her lawyer for a drug charge? Or is it three, the couple that was having sex in the back of the police cruiser? Which one is not, again, not Florida?
Oh, not Florida.
Yes, this is not Florida.
Oh, okay. I thought the game was, okay, not Florida.
Normally it is, but today we're doing a twist.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to rethink things.
Two
then.
Stories are Florida stories. One is not. I'm wondering if this is going to be harder than determining which one is Florida. That, so which that, one that
throws a wrench into
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a twist. It's a twist, you see.
Well, they're all fascinating stories.
Yes.
Although the first one to me, the second and third certainly sound Florida. The first one sounds almost Tasmanian.
Okay.
I'll go with number one.
I think we have a wiener.
Ding, 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 ding.
Is that how you win all the time? Are you using Google?
No. Why, am I right?
Yes, it's happened in Tasmania. So you Google, this is what you do? Is this whole thing a joke to you?
I got it right, though.
You cheated, though.
I didn't cheat.
How did you know it was a Tasmanian story?
Is it Tasmania?
Of course you know that it is. So you're over there Googling these things?
No.
Here, all this, for years, I thought you were some sort of genius at this game. Why do I not notice that you're over there tapping away on the keyboard?
I don't know. Everyone else is watching.
Why would you cheat at which one is in Florida? You clearly did. You clearly cheated.
Well, I don't know where it took place.
You said it sounds Tasmanian.
Okay, well, that's just a...
Don't continue the lie.
It's something people say.
I'm sickened by you right now. Yeah. I don't even know who you are.
Oh, I think you do.
Well, that was Which One's Not Florida?
Yes. What a world.
How do you sleep at night?
Sometimes I don't sleep very well. Matter of fact, I got up at 1:30 this morning and struggled to go back.
Well, that makes me feel better.
I carry a lot with me.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thank you so much for downloading, subscribing, liking, leaving a review, and listening to it. Gosh, it's a lot of stuff that you guys do just to listen to this podcast, and it's appreciated. You know, when we say our thank yous at the table on Thanksgiving,
God bless us, everyone.
You're going to get a mention. Thanks for listening.
A shout out at Thanksgiving.
And I'd also like to thank Nature's Treatment of Illinois for this bountiful feast.
They have two locations, one in Milan, one in Galesburg. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower vapes, edibles, just to name a few. They do have some holiday hours that you should know about on Thanksgiving. They are going to be open from 8 a.m. till noon. And then a big, big day for shopping at Nature's Treatment, both locations on what they're calling Green Friday. They will be open from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. this Friday.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.